Recently, another case of mistreating children happened in Warap State, and this is not an isolated case. It seems like it is quite a frequent practice. Now, today we will be discussing this with our guest. She's the Executive Director of Women Foundation for Humanity, Dorothy Drabuga. And Dorothy, well, good morning, and thank you so much for making out time to speak to us this morning.
You're welcome, and thank you for hosting me. And good morning, Radio Miraya listeners.
Yes, good morning. So, as I have mentioned earlier, another case of mistreating a child, I would say very brutal methods if you would like to punish your child. What is your say about this, and how, what is your reaction to this, the photo that is making headlines right now in social media?
Thank you very much. Actually, this act that has been committed is really very inhuman, and also it is a violation of human rights and child abuse, which is not accepted in the Republic of South Sudan. This child abuse is something very bad, and yet we have the Child Act 2008 that protects the rights of children. And even when, first of all, we look at the Human Rights Declaration, the rights of everybody is protected. Elders, children, women, girls, everybody. And so this one was really a violation of human's right. And also, again, when we are having the Child Act in the Republic of South Sudan, it's very wrong. Because if you look at the Act, the Child Act Section 2022, that one protects the rights of children from abuse. So anybody who commits a crime against or violates the rights of a child by, maybe, for example, if we look at this act which has been committed recently, this one is really very, it's a harmful practice which is not accepted in our society. Right. And the child has a right to play, even in the African setting, like a child can go and play with the neighbors. And there is this English saying that no play makes Jack a dull boy. Yes. Mm. So we cannot really restrict our children, especially in the village setting, or just in our neighborhood. Mm. And this child is very young. She doesn't know what she's doing. So really, this act was not right. Yeah. Mm. And this woman really deserves to be punished.
Right. And in our societies, you would hear more of statements like, well, this is my child, I can do whatever I want to this child. How do you speak to such perceptions?
This is really, it's really very brutal. And I think it would be right if, despite the fact that we have the Child Act, their rights are protected, but these people are unaware of all this. I think there is really need to disseminate or to raise awareness to the locals, to everybody in this country, so that they get to know that children's rights are protected. And if you want to correct a child, it doesn't mean that you should beat this child. That's why now in schools, even child beating by teachers, even at home beating your child is not a good thing. It's not a good practice, because the more you beat this child, the child gets traumatized and always lives in fear, and it's not really very good. This is something that really our society here must stop with immediate effect.
Right. Now, from your perspective as an activist, can we reach to the bottom of this problem of parents wanting to take the law into their own hands when it comes to disciplining their children, and in such using extreme methods?
As I was saying before, you know, as here in most of our communities are still living with this ideology of the African, these cultural norms, you know, in the African tradition, beating a child is normal. Even that time your neighbor can beat your child if he finds the child doing something bad. But now, time has come when this is not the time for us to be beating our children. The more like you start beating, you make even the child either traumatized or to go wild. Especially girls, for example, if a girl reaches 15 or 10, you start beating her, she will run out of home, and this one may cause a lot of danger. So for me, as an activist, beating a child is not a good practice, so we should really stop it. And there is need to raise awareness about the Child Act 2008 to all our people of South Sudan to know that the child has a right. Caning is not a way of punishing.
Solution,
yes. Right. So we should really give love and care to our children. If we make our children friendly, we be friendly with them, because if we are not friendly, we are violent always, they will fear.
They will not be
maybe
able to open
even
up
they
us.
Yes, they will not open up. So really we need to come out of that kind of lifestyle.
So what role can society play in raising children, because it takes a village in Africa to raise a child?
Yes. At community level or the society, they should, of course, I know in this communities or our society, there are rules that protects the children. For example, if a child is doing something bad, the other person can come and tell the mother, your child is like this. And even in other societies, the neighbor will beat, which is not right. The right way is, for example, if one person in another family is doing something bad, you as a parent from another family, you can come and talk to the parents, and you call this person, you sit the person down, and then you talk to her, you give advice. And I think also it is good for this, for us, like for the parents to be taken through workshop or seminars, so that they get to know some of these like the Child Act and some of the values of the modern society.
And of course people may say that because we are a post-conflict country, most of us are experiencing trauma, so if not all of us, we need help. So what do you speak to families about raising children together? Because this woman is a single mother. The particular person that we are speaking about, probably she has no support and she's a struggling person, and she must be going through a lot. That's why probably, of course, we are not condoning the act, but we also want to look at where she's coming from as a human being. So how can parents help each other in families?
At this time, I know, let us first of all look at the economic crisis. This is really something that has affected everybody, even it's even global. And then coming to our context here, the war, the climate change issues, people are displaced, some fathers have died as a result of the conflict. Women are left alone. They are single mothers. There are a lot of things. Some of these people are traumatized. They really need guidance and counseling. But again, also, like as a parent, I know most people, especially women, if something has annoyed me somewhere, I'll come and extend this anger to the child. I'll beat the child the way I want. And this is not a way of how we can solve such issues. And for me, I think when we are going through hard times, this is the time for us to come together. You know, if you are together, you will console each other. But now, if you are alone, you may take to other actions. Maybe now you are a single mother, this child needs to eat and there is nowhere you can get food. So for me, really, I think these are some of the things we should look at. And number two, peace is paramount. If there is peace, all these things will stop, because now people cannot go to dig. Some people have been misplaced. So if there is a peace, maybe you will cultivate, you get food through that. But for now, people are just depending on other people, are depending purely on humanitarian assistance. And for how long is that going to be?
Right. And this leads me to my next question. It's not the first time that this is happening, and the most children that have bore the brunt of brutality in families is mostly girls, yeah, as opposed to the young boys in families. Why do you think it's usually the girls?
For me, I think one of the things that we should look at is this gender parity. You know, up to now, despite the fact that people have been raising awareness on gender equality, but still, parents prefer their male children than the girls. Yes.
Right.
So the girls are put in a lot of things. Anything, they will protect the boys, but not the girls. If I can give you an example of what
But why is that? Why is there a preference?
I think that is so because we are being guided by the cultural norms, which gives the girls or the women an inferior status and the boys a superior status.
Mm-hmm.
So the boys are taken as they are valuable, but you, the girl, you will get married, and so nobody bothers about you. Mm. Your husband will go and take care of you. Mm. You see? Mm. So these are really issues that are challenging.
Right.
And I was giving you an example of the girl child compensation that used to happen in Eastern Equatoria. Like if a family, somebody in a family kills another person from another family, so to compensate for the death of that person, they
hand over a girl.
You see, so you see really there's no respect and value for girls. This is really the mentality of our people that needs to be changed.
Right. And Rabuga, I'm running out of time, but okay, how do we raise awareness on these issues?
First of all, I think we need real awareness, especially at the grassroots levels.
Right.
Yeah, because most of these communities are not even aware that they know human rights, but these human rights, they know that it is for boys, not for women. Mm. They think the rights for women is different, that human rights is for women. So these are some of the things that they needed to be told about, that look here, women and men have the same rights. You have the right to go to school.
Mm.
The girl has the right to go to school, the right to eat, the right to live, everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Dorothy, thank you so much for your time.